You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome, everyone, to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. Shane Stetsony here with Brent Smith, as always. Brent, Season 4 of Amsoil Championship Off-Road and Season 4 of us working together. How excited are you? It's been a long off-season.
Man, has it been such a long off-season, Shane. I'm excited to get back in the booth, excited to start the podcast this year once again with you. And, I mean, we got a lot of cool stories coming in 2023, but it's just going to be one heck of a show in my eyes, I believe, because we just keep getting better and better each year with Champ Off-Road, and I'm excited. I can't say anymore. I mean, this is going on my ninth year, I think, in a row announcing, and we're already together for, what, 4 years now, going on our fifth year next year. It's just unreal how far we've come in a short period of time.
Yeah, and let's talk about that a little bit, kind of a state of the series a little bit. I think, you know, both of us, you and I, have been around off-road racing here in the Midwest since, you know, for decades, to say the least. I think off-road racing is in a really good, stable place right now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of people interested. The viewing's up over the top. I mean, we have a lot of great racing. I mean, from our side-by-sides all the way to Pro 2, Pro 4. I mean, there's no slouches in our sport. And if you want to win, you really have to put the time in, the effort, and everything above. You have to have all your ducks in a row to make things happen. And I just think the series is doing the right thing, and they're making things go forward. And we have the best races in the world and the racers.
Right. And, you know, let's be honest about this. It's difficult economic times for a lot of people. And I think the fear for the last couple of years now, ever since the pandemic, has kind of been stuff has gotten so expensive. How are people going to be able to afford to actually, you know, put a race car together, show up and still race, but somehow the numbers keep getting bigger and bigger. I don't get it.
Yeah, we get a lot of bench racing, and you hear it on your end. I hear it on my end, and local drivers all the way to the pro drivers. Yeah, exactly. They're going to complain no matter what. I mean, you get two hamburgers at your meal or you get one hamburger. There's always going to be somebody that's going to complain about something. But at the end of the day, something must be going right, which we know is what Carl's doing, what Champ Off-Road is doing, Haley, all the group that it takes to put this together. I mean, everybody wants to be here. So money or no money, I remember back in the day, come on, Shane, that you take away some other things in your weekly grind to make it to the track if you really want to be there.
Reminds me of a great story that my dad told me once back in his racing days, which was before I was born. The story probably takes place in the late 70s. At one point, he was scraping together, just barely getting through a race season, and broke the clutch pedal in his race car, and just flat out couldn't afford to buy another one. You know, it would have cut too much out of the budget to make it to the next race. So for a couple races, he actually would take the clutch pedal out of my mom's daily driver, put it in his race car, and then haul it to the track, come back home, and on Sunday night, put it back in her car so she could go to work.
Oh, that is unbelievable. That's classic. I mean, if you want to race, you do whatever you have to do to get there. And hey, I can't imagine back in the day how many different stories.
You want to talk about the sportsman grind. We talk about, you know, there are pro drivers that I consider sportsmen at heart because they know exactly what that's like to be living paycheck to paycheck, so to speak, when it comes to putting your race program together. And like we're saying, though, those guys still keep showing up. I had an inside look, kind of a sneak peek at the entry lists, and everybody is still here. It's going to be a really great year, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the drivers that we've seen come back year after year, the champions, ex-champions moving up into new classes this year. I mean, we have so many guys and gals moving up. It just creates a lot of interest for me because after a while, I don't care who you are, you watch the same guys win over and over and it gets repetitious. I mean, as an announcer, as a fan of this sport, and you as a fan of this sport, we love newcomers. We love guys and gals that are going to make it to the next level, even to try it. I give a lot of guys credit. I mean, Pro Spec, I don't want to get into any certain class right now, but Pro Spec has just got me so excited because there is great car count.
Yeah, and we'll, as we break down some of these classes here on this first episode, but just for a look ahead at future episodes of the podcast, we're going to break down about half the classes of Champ Off-Road here on this episode. Next episode, or in the next couple episodes, we'll break down all the rest. And then also talk about tracks. Then we'll get back to our usual format where we have guests. We know that this is year three of just listening to Brent and me on the podcast. So we sympathize with all you loyal listeners. We appreciate you, by the way. Thanks for sticking with us this long and tuning in once again. But Brent, if you're ready, why don't we get started? Let's talk about some of these classes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of classes that are going to be very interesting this year. And I mean, the buggies, hey, they call you a buggy dork, but at the same time, hey, we have some of our best talent coming out of these divisions.
They call me a buggy dork, and I accept the title extremely well. I consider myself a buggy dork, so let's talk about some 1600 buggy action. So last year, the class belonged to John Fitzgerald from Nebraska. He finished no worse than third on the season. That's an incredible run that he had. 5 total wins, you know, won the championship going away. So you have him returning, and then 2 other front runners, Dylan Parsons, Tony Keepers. Those guys have both moved on to pro spec. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. They each had 2 wins last year in 2022, and then the other guys that picked up a win were Travis Trelstad, Bo Ambos, and Mike Seafelt, who you remember won that world championship race. Do you think this is just John Fitzgerald's class, and it's kind of him versus the field?
Well, I mean, I've watched John for a long, long time, and anything he gets behind the wheel, he figures it out. He's a great fabricator, very talented man. I mean, it takes a lot of muscle memory to get in different cars and vehicles and work on other things and still stay focused on what you want to win in. And I believe John will be one to beat. He's going to have a big target on his back. Guys like Travis Trelstad and Bo Ambos. I mean, Seafelt, it was great to see him come back in the class. I mean, he's a vet. That boy knows how to wheel a car, and you've seen it right away. He didn't waste any time. So yeah, Fitz is going to be one to favor, but don't take anybody out of the game because these cars are getting very, very fast. And there's not just 1, 2, 3 top drivers. Now we have 6, 7, 8 in this field.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I'm curious to see who out of the other group makes that jump up to contention. Is it going to be Travis Trelstad, who's got a couple of wins over the last couple of years? It seems like Ambos, especially towards the end of last year when he got his first 1600 win, he's starting to figure it out a little bit. Obviously, Seafelt has dozens, if not hundreds, of wins in buggies going back to the 90s and even earlier than that. Or, I mean, like I said, how do you see it playing out? Do you think someone can make that leap and threaten Fitzgerald?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you're in that class and you're showing up every weekend and you say, I'm going for the points championship, I mean, I could see 3, 4 guys, 5 guys actually in this class that could knock on Fitz's door at any time. So, yes, there's a couple. I would say Seafelt, if he can make it to every round, him and Fitz are going to be fun to watch up front. And without Keepers and Parsons, those two can really wheel a car. It'll be fun to watch them move up. But, hey, it gives some new guys some new fresh air, and we'll see what they can bring in 2023.
Yeah, worth noting, too, if you remember back at Dirt City last year, both of the Schultz twins, Colin and Connor Schultz,
yes,
had their cup of coffee in 1600 and both did really well. And I was talking that over with Mike Vandenhoevel that one of the twins, this is not super public knowledge, but he's kind of let the cat out of the bag. Mikey has a 1600 car in the shop. He doesn't plan on driving it, but one of the twins might show up to a few champ races to race that car in 1600. I know Mikey's really excited about that. Certainly the Schultz boys could play spoiler to Fitzgerald if they show up.
Yeah, absolutely. The twins, they know how to get the job done. We've watched them in light buggy for multiple seasons now. And anytime you put those names on a chart to run in a class, they're going to be running up front. So, hey, it'll be interesting, but time will tell. I mean, Antigo's right around the corner, and anybody can win at any given time. You just got to be there in the end to win.
Well, moving on, why don't we talk a little bit about Modkart? This is another class that, obviously, being a youth class, a lot of drivers come in, they reach their peak, and then they graduate to bigger and better things. But as far as I'm concerned, this class is going to be loaded with some really talented drivers this year. Of course, going back to last year, Porter and Glazey was the man to beat, hands down. He had 6 wins over the 12 rounds, took the championship. The only other winner from last year who's in the class still is Zach Rahanowitz. He only won 1 race last year. But then you look at that next group. You've got Hunter Van Zyl. He's been a winner in short course card a couple of years ago. He started to put it together a little bit, had 7 top 5 finishes last year. You've got Ella Holcher, former champion in the 170s. Carter Zahara, last year's short course kart champ, now in mod kart. Gavin Plummer missed out on that short course kart championship last year by just a couple points. He's also moving up to the mod kart class. And maybe, again, this is coming from Mike Vandenhoevel, former short course kart champ Carter Vandenhoevel might also be in the mix as well. We'll keep you updated on that.
Man, good for him, though, hey?
Absolutely. It'd be great to see him back on track. And then Avery Hemmer picked up her first mod kart podium in the final round last year. She actually won some Amsoil Championship snowcross races over the winter, so she's winning in all seasons right now. She may be one to watch as well. How do you see this mod kart field playing out?
Wow, man, you get me excited when you say Carter Vandenhoevel because, you know, he's been up in the booth with us trying to get up on the mic, and he's been staying around it with Uncle Mikey, and it's awesome for me to see him because he's going to progress. He's very smart. He's got a lot of talent around him, and my eyes are set on him. I hope he can get out there this year. I really do. And Ella Holcher, you can't say anything bad about her. She is so good at anything she gets in. She's just a sweet race car driver, and she just wants to mix it up with who's ever out there. And, I mean, Plummer, you go down, all these kids have wins. Zach Rahanowicz, you know that his old man's going to have his truck dialed, and Mark is a very smart individual year after year. He knows how to make those carts work. And it's just, hey, if they can keep it on all four wheels and play nice, I think we're going to have one hell of a show.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The only, I guess, losses from Mod Kart are the Johnson brothers, of course, two of my favorites to watch as a fan, because those guys really brought the excitement to the class, or brought a lot of the excitement to the class. Unfortunately, they have stepped out of off-road racing. Even in my notes, I have in parentheses, for now, ? I would love to see those guys return.
Yeah, absolutely. Their dad, I talked to Casey a while back. It was after the banquet, I believe. I don't know where I ran into him. And he said it got too expensive, and they have a family business to run, and the kids are getting older. So, yeah, I like it when you say for now, because I could see them stepping back in. Casey's a hard worker. He works hard at home to keep the boys happy, and they work for everything they have. I mean, like, we talk with financial issues, everybody goes through it, but hey, you got to give them props for the time they were in it, because like you said, the boys put on one heck of a show.
Yeah, I always got a kick out of how hard they raced one another. It seemed like the way it goes with brothers, and you know how it is because you've got a twin, they would always find each other on the track, and somehow they would, you know, they couldn't finish a race with a full body on when they found each other. Just made for some really entertaining racing. Right. Yeah, I think it's going to be another fun one to watch. Like I said, to be clear, the Carter Vandenhoevel situation kind of up in the air. I was talking to Mikey about it. He said it could go either way at this point. We should know, obviously we'll know by Anigo, but we should know here in the next couple of weeks whether or not Carter is going to be part of the Champ Off-Road field. Again, this class is going to be super fun. Glad to see it sticking around. Should still have the same about 10 or so entrants in the field for Mod Kart here in 2023.
Healthy, though. That's what we like to see, the numbers. And I love it. It's a great class. And a lot of these kids, you're going to see them in the bigger classes, the Pro Light, Pro 2s later on, because power to weight ratio, those things giddy up.
Yeah, no doubt. And we saw it, you know, a couple of years ago with Easton Sleeper moved out of Mod Kart, did really well last year in Pro Spec. So that's still a strong pipeline, even though it's a little bit smaller than some of the other youth classes. I think still a great pipeline to, you know, produce our future pro racers.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting, Shane, to watch the Mod Kart class develop now that the Johnson brothers aren't in it. But at the same time, hey, we talk about the youth classes. The 570 side-by-sides have just became very, very fun to watch.
Yeah, that class has grown quite a bit since we introduced it a couple of years ago. And if you go back to last year, that was tied with another class for the smallest points margin at the end of the season. You remember Ethan Dressel just barely beat out Riker Remington by that 2-point margin after all was said and done. But Ethan Dressel, he has moved on to Pro-Am side-by-side for this year. Riker Remington, last year's runner-up, will remain. And then you've got a very full field of other drivers who have been on the podium either in this class or other classes. Just looking at this list here, you've got Jaden Dickman, who's been on the podium in 570s. Ella and Finley Holcher. Hudson Hoole was on the podium a couple times last year. Corbin Wassenberg, Wyatt Olson, another driver who had a couple really good seasons in the 170s. And then you've got some interesting newcomers to the 570s as well. You've got Cody Krantz, who has 12 Champ Off-Road wins in the 170s. He was also the 2021 champion in the 170 class. And last year's 170 world champion, Ashley Bone, also making that jump up to the 570s. These are evenly matched cars by design. This is going to be a really exciting class, Brent.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. It's going to be so much fun to watch because you just never know who's going to win at any given time. I mean, Cody Krantz, you put down 12 wins in any class, you're going to have a name on your back. They're going to know who you are coming into the new class. And I think he'll adapt fundamentally well. He's going to know what to do. It's going to be easier to drive, I believe, because a little bit more speed, he'll be able to carry his corners. So my eyes definitely will be set on Cody Krantz. But like you said, you can't take out an Ella Holger. You can't take out anyone in this field because, hey, guy or girl, you couldn't tell me who's going to win right now.
Yeah, you're totally right. Hey, worth pointing out, too, another driver who was up on the podium a handful of times last year, Dylan Roloff, he is actually moving on to light buggy. We'll talk about light buggy on a future episode, but that's one other fast guy who's graduating from the class, moving on to greener pastures. Or like both of us said, you know, the 570s so evenly matched. The points battle was tight right down to the finish last year. I expect it to be the same this year, but it'll be interesting to see who steps up and can run up there with Ryker Remington, who showed a lot of speed last year.
Yeah, Ryker is very, very exciting to watch. I mean, he came on very, very late and just was always smooth and learned how to drive the car. And I mean, was able to watch him all year progress, and it's going to be fun to watch. Like I said, the 570s never disappoint, and we'll just have to wait and see who our champion's going to be in 2023, dude.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things about all the youth classes is the kids change, you know, the drivers themselves, they change physically, they mature, you know, mentally from one year to the next. So it's really hard to make any kind of, you know, bold letters predictions about what's going to happen for the 570s this year. Like you said, we'll have to wait and see. But you used a phrase talking about the 570s. You said it's going to be fun to watch. Well, I think this next class, that's going to be a huge understatement to call it fun to watch. Let's talk. You're reading ahead in the notes a little bit, I can tell. Let's talk a little bit about Super Stock Truck. Man, Kyle Cooper, he was a champion last year. He has moved on to Pro 2. And it sounds like, based on what the rumor mill is telling me, Ben Holcher, not going to be in Champ Off-Road full-time, if at all, this year. And if I'm wrong on that, I'll gladly issue a correction on that. But some of the heavy hitters still there. You've got Nick Bing, a former class champion, former world champion. He had a win last year and finished second in points to Cooper. You've got Joe Machosik, who had that ridiculously quick turnaround rebuilding that truck after that round three crash at Crandon last year.
Yeah, he's definitely hungry. He's hungry.
No doubt about it. He was so excited to win the 21 championship. This is a fun stat. I crunched the numbers on Machosik a little bit. So he missed round four at Crandon after that turn one crash in round three. If you just pretend round four never happened and nobody else got any points either, he would have won the championship by 19 points. So over the last couple of years, he's really been the guy to beat when he's able to not fold the truck in half like he did in turn one.
Easy.
And then you've got the other kind of the up and coming, the ascending fast guys. You've got Scott Belanger, Braden Beauchamp, Trey Beauchamp. Belanger and Braden Beauchamp each had a win last year. And then more good news about this field. Aaron Holiday, you remember last year, had that great win in round three, the same day that Joe Machosik rolled his truck in turn one. Then he broke his back at ERX. Well, he's fully recovered now. He'll be there full time as well. And I expect him, after he can knock the dust off a little bit, he should be very fast.
That's so crazy. That's so awesome.
Is this going to be Machosik's year again? Aside from Crandon last year, going all the way back to the beginning of 21, he's been the guy to beat.
I believe so. I mean, you and I both know Joey and his father very well. And I mean, they come to play, but they want to win. I mean, they worked their butt off, and you've seen how quick they turned around everything to get that truck back out there. I mean, you talk heavy hitters in the Super Stock Truck class. I mean, Joey's going to have a big target. Yeah, granted, everybody knows he's quick, and he would have won it by however many points if he would have raced all the races. But at the same time, hey, Nick Bing's fast. I mean, Scott Blanger, Braden Boshaw. I mean, yeah, Granny's my cousin. Sometimes people might think, oh, yeah, you're giving him love. No, he puts his work in, him and his father. He's a past super stock truck champion. He's running a great truck. They're ready to rock and roll. He was going to do some summer classes, but I guess he's all wide open at racing this summer and going to try to go after a super stock truck championship. But then you have Trey Boshaw. I mean, these guys know how to race. And if Joey, getting back to Joey, wants to take championship, he's going to have to not only keep it together, but be fast enough to run away and hide from these guys, because there's a lot of speed in this class.
Who do you think is the biggest threat out of that group of other guys that we talked about? Who can take the big step forward and compete for this championship that hasn't been close yet?
Wow, I would love to say a couple other guys that I do sometimes pull out of my head right away in this class, but Scott Blanger, I mean, he's fast in stock truck. He moved up to super stock, got in a great piece, and now I feel him, or even Aaron Holiday. I mean, Braden Boshaw, he showed a lot of speed all year long. Trey Boshaw showed the speed. The consistency is going to come now, I believe, out of Braden this year. I mean, the bad luck's off of his back. I mean, the little hits that he had, broke a tie rod, you snap this, you break that. I think if he can get out and just pace himself, he's going to be that surprise young buck that's going to try to win the championship this year, because he's been in it. He knows how to win. And if he gets consistent, cousin or not cousin, I think that's my pick for this year.
Yeah, that's as good a pick as any. One driver I'm going to keep my eye on a little bit is Ron Cosiza. Has not flashed on the podium, but he's been right there a few times. Kind of the Mr. Consistent of the class.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's always, you know, up near the lead pack, very consistent, finishes his races. If he can just take a little step forward in speed, I think he's going to have a really strong season as well. But again, I don't think we can overstate how hard it's going to be. This is another class where it's kind of Machosik versus the field in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Joey's going to definitely be fast. It's going to be pretty simple to try to pick out where the 851 is going to come out in every race. If he finishes with that truck, we've seen 9 times out of 10, he's on the podium. So granted, everybody's fast. Nick Bing, I'm looking for big things out of him. He's a former world champion, a champion in the class. I mean, he could go off as well. I mean, just like anything, if you get that luck on your side, I remember Rick Huseman saying it back in the day. He's like, you know, everybody's like, you have to have the money, you have to have the funding. But at the end of the day, you know, 50% of it's racing, and you know, the other 50%, you got to have some luck on your side, he would say. Like, you know, you can't just assume it's going to happen. You can predict anything, but hey, you come into turn one and you pull a Joey Machosik, some days you can't do nothing about it, and you just got to move on. And he did, and that's why we're talking about him. He's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, I think it's fitting that you brought up Nick Bing and luck in the same sentence too, because it seems like the last couple of years he's dealt with some bad luck, but at the same time, when he shows up and, you know, steps out of the hauler for the first time and finds the four-leaf clover, however it's working out for him, when he's on, he is seriously on. So, you know, maybe he's the threat that can take down Machosik. I guess we will see how that one shakes out. But Brent, this is the fourth year of Amsoil Championship Off-Road. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by Amsoil. Remember to visit Amsoil.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guide to find what you need and get fast, free shipping on all orders over $100. Amsoil, run with us. So what do you think, Brent? Should we get back into some side-by-side talk?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of racers, a lot of drivers, and it'd be interesting who's racing where in 2023 in these Pro-Am and Pro Stock.
Well, you've read my notes, so you know that I've got a lot of that detailed right here. Let's get started with Pro-Am side-by-side. Last year, the champion, Colin Kearns, he was the sportsman champ in 21, moved up to Pro-Am, won that championship. But he has now graduated. He'll be racing in Pro Stock. We'll talk about him a little bit more here in just a moment. Jake Jorgensen, another guy who seemed to be on the podium quite a bit, has moved on. Mike Letourneau has moved up to Pro Stock. So the highest finisher from last year in points, Bill Berger or who's returning, I should say, is Bill Berger. He had 2 wins last year. 6 of the 12 rounds, he was in the top 5. He's staying. And then you've got a bunch of other fast guys who are staying as well, guys who have been on the podium pretty regularly over the last couple of years. Jared Jaden, Matt Borschinger, Derek Liebergen, who had a win last year. And then Cody Jones, who had a really rough start to the season, but finished the year with 5 wins. He won 4 out of the last 5 races in Sportsman Side-by-Side last year. He's going to join the fray in Pro-Am Side-by-Side. Let's talk about this class a little bit. How do you see this shaking out? The champion is gone. We're going to have a new champion.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. Anytime a past champion moves up and moves on, I mean, you're talking about Cody Jones. We watched him put on a clinic at the end of the year, and that's what it's going to take to win the championship in Pro-Am. And, I mean, Mike Letourneau, Jake Jorgensen, I mean, they moved on, so, like, it gives it new life, new breath air. Like I always say, you know, you want to see new guys come in, and you want to see new champions. So, hey, Matt Borschinger, I'll tell you, he's very quick. I mean, we talk about him. I mean, we get our normal guys and gals that we talk about time and time again. And
well, yeah, we talk about them because they're always up in that lead pack.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's like, I mean, numbers and names just flash in our head. And when we see that new guy or gal get into the top 3, hey, we're the first ones to cheer them on, because especially in this class, the numbers, I mean, what was the last year's numbers? We were 25, 30 some cars in some of these classes. If you can finish in the top 10, I mean, to me, if you're running out of that many cars at the end of the day, you got to consider that almost a win.
Right. And looking ahead a little bit to round 1 at Antigo, that makes those opening rounds, especially in such a big class, so important. It'll be interesting to see, especially with some of these newcomers that we just talked about, guys like Cody Jones, how quickly will they be able to find their footing a little bit now that the competition level is a little bit more advanced? How quickly will they be able to get up to speed?
Well, you know, I think it's like riding a bike for these guys, because, I mean, if you know it, you know it. They're watching probably film of their past and what they're expecting. I mean, if you get in it, you know what you're doing. A lot of these guys are just going to click, and it's going to be fun to watch. You're going to have a new sheriff in town, and a lot of these guys, when they're in these classes, they're going to be like, hey, you know, this guy, that girl, they're out of the class. But hey, now it's time to step up. And that's the favorite part about racing. You never know who's going to win until the end. And I'll tell you, Pro Stock's going to be awesome. And the Pro-Am is not going to have any bad days. I can guarantee you that. Because I'll tell you, it is a carnage fest sometimes with these side-by-sides. And I give these guys and gals credit, because, I don't know, sometimes it's scary to watch. We see some of those contacts with these little cars, and glad they're built safe.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Open wheel racing in close quarters. And you remember Antigo last year was kind of has a reputation now for being rough on the side-by-sides, because there was a couple really bad pileups that basically cratered the season for a few of those competitors last year. Hopefully this year it goes a little bit better. But you mentioned Pro Stock there as well. Why don't we move on and talk about that a little bit? So Colin Kearns, like I said, was the Sportsman Side-by-Side champ in 2021, moved up to Pro-Am, picked up right where he left off. He was the champion last year in Pro-Am. Do you think he can move up again, especially now that Brock Hager is no longer racing in Champ Off-Road, at least for the 2023 season? How competitive can Kearns be making that bigger jump from Pro-Am up to Pro Stock?
I'll say it again, though, Shane. I mean, if you know it, you know it. But Colin Kearns, he's a great guy. He's a great individual. He knows how to drive these cars. And it's all about just getting comfortable in your own ride. Sometimes you got to take it like golf. You got to beat yourself if you're going to get beat. If you can put a program together and you can know your own car, you got the right setups, the driving is just a small part of it. You have to have all your ducks in a row, and you have to have everything right, because you can have the best driver in the car, but if that car isn't going to stay together and perform like the top 3 and the winners each and every weekend, then you might as well keep it at home. But Colin isn't that kind of guy. He's going to be one to watch, and he wants to win. He's not in it just for a ribbon. He wants to win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But it's going to be a tall task for him to run up front, because there's already a lot of really fast guys. We talked about some of the others who are moving into Pro Stock. You've got Mike Letourneau. He's joining his brother Jack here in Pro Stock side-by-side. Tyson Marquardt joining his brother Dylan Marquardt in Pro Stock side-by-side. You've got the other fast guys who we seem to talk a lot about. Owen Van Epperen had a win in Pro Stock last year. Jake Kosmecki, a guy who was last year, we really saw him start to put it together a little bit.
Yeah, six top fives. Yeah.
Dylan Marquardt, who I just mentioned, was in the top six different times and landed on the podium once towards the end of the year. And then obviously the elephant in the room, CJ Greaves. You got to figure with Hager gone, CJ Greaves, now this is his second year running the Polaris. He's got to be the favorite, right? Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he's probably going to pack a lunch on some of these races and run away and hide. But Owen Van Epperen, he's very quick. He already has a couple races under his belt, as we've seen earlier this year. And Jake Kosmecki, you talked a little bit about him. I mean, six top fives in such a competitive class. He's doing very well. I know he works with CJ Greaves a lot. So it's nice to bump shoulders with a kid at that level. I mean, CJ knows, I say it a lot on the broadcasts about he knows where every rock is located. No, the kid knows where everything goes every weekend. I mean, he's going to have his bad days, but nine times out of 10, it's going to be a misfunction on the car because he knows how to drive. Owen Van Epperen, he's like his old man. It's not far different cut off that cookie sheet. He's very quick. And Marquardt, he's going to be fast as well. So like you said, yeah, Colin Kern's going to have a hard time, but it'll be interesting to watch with Brock Hager going on.
Yeah, another name to watch, no doubt. The man needs no introduction. Andrew Carlson now showing up here on my sneak peek entry list for Pro Stock as well.
Wow.
And then you've got Johnny Henches, who raced Pro Stock side by side a few years ago, tried out the Pro 2 thing for a while. He's diving back in both feet into Pro Stock side by side. So some of those guys who have graduated up through the sportsman ranks to get here, they've got a tall order this year. There's some serious heavy hitters in this Pro Stock field. Brent, another class that has more than doubled in size from last year and is once again absolutely stacked. Pro Spec. Last year we saw it was only four trucks, but some of the most competitive racing, very evenly matched. Obviously, that's kind of by design with that whole Pro Spec platform. Only two drivers returning as of right now from last year, Nick Visser, Chris Vandenels, and each had four wins last year. But let's talk about some of these new guys that are coming into Pro Spec. You got the Buggy Dorks, Tony Keepers, Dylan Parsons, both coming out of 1600. Paul Hayward, long ago raced Light Buggy, raced Super Buggy for a little bit. He's moving into Pro Spec. He was actually just testing this week that we're recording the podcast. So when you hear this, a couple days ago, Hayward was on the test track as well as Chris Vandenels. And looking at some of the other names, you've got a newcomer, a former AMA Pro flat track racer, Matt Cunningham, jumping into Pro Spec. Aaron Messenger, he used to race side-by-sides. Justin Tesmer, another former side-by-side racer coming in. Corey Podolsky, the man they call C-Pod, raced in Pro Light for a little bit, but he comes out of the side-by-sides before that as well. And then, of course, the headliner of the freshman here in Pro Spec, Chad Rayford. He's the last active Pro Light driver who actually raced a four-cylinder manual trans Pro Light, and he is diving in to Pro Spec this year. What do you think about this field?
Well, we got to start off by talking about our boy, Chad Rayford. I'll tell you, I've known Chad for a long, long time. He's been around this sport, helping out Mikey Vandenhoevel. And just being around this sport is so hard to do and try to race at the same time. Hey, you got to give him props. He ran Pro Light for a long time, did very, very well for what he was given as a motor package and everything. He can drive. I mean, he's a former quad racer. I mean, for people out there that don't know Chad, he's just a quiet guy, but you put him behind a truck, he knows how to drive. And you say that he was in the four-cylinder manual trucks back in the day. Well, now we're back to manual shifting in these Pro Spec trucks. I mean, you talk to Vandenels and you talk to guys like him that ran it all last year. They're like, these things are so much fun. And it's a lot of eye-hand coordination. You have to make sure you hit your shifts. Don't miss a shift. And Chad Rayford, he's going to be one to capitalize. I think this fits his driving style. I think that's why with funding being the way it was, Kenda Tire jumped on board. They're going to help him out because, hey, they know Chad can drive. And I think this is going to be a good year for Chad. But like you said, you have a lot of newcomers that don't take them off the table because they can wheel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we saw how evenly matched the trucks actually were last year. three of the four drivers in the field last year won a race, and Easton Sleeper was the only one who didn't. He would have, except for just a couple mistakes, but there was times when he looked like the man to beat on the racetrack. So I think it's going to be that evenly matched again. It's a really interesting group. Like I said, you've got the returning guys, and you can kind of lump Rayford in there because the learning curve for him is going to be so short. So that's kind of the storyline I'm seeing. It's the returning guys versus the buggy dorks versus the side-by-side guys is kind of how I'm picturing this playing out this year.
Yeah, I'm excited, Shane, to watch Tony Kiepers run a truck. I mean, we've seen him as a buggy our whole life, and I'll tell you, he can drive. He got in great equipment. He knows how to work on these cars. He knows how to prep them. So, I mean, I've been following him on Facebook and checking out all his pictures and making sure that, you know, they're going to be out there because I'm still like a kid at Christmas, like you, Shane. You know, we're excited to see who's going to come out, who's going to make their debuts. And, I mean, Paul Hayward, it's cool to see him throw some laps down. Like you said, he knows how to drive. He's in an old Mark Kleiman truck, former Ross Hook chassis. So cool to see these older trucks get into this pro spec class. And our fan favorite last year, Corey Podolski, he's like, hey, man, why wouldn't I go into the pro spec? Because, you know, ProLite's getting so out of hand, you know, to him. This is his view saying, you know, it's expensive and he just wants to have fun. So he's like, a step down, get to play with all these newcomers and the guys like Chad Rayford and Nick Visser that already put four wins down. Hey, you know, it's going to be interesting. It'll be anybody's game because they're so equal.
Yeah, this is one that looking ahead to Antigo, I mean, you could really say it's almost anybody's game. And that's what makes it so exciting. But hey, while we're on the topic of classes where there's a big handful of drivers who could be in the lead pack, and I guess to wrap up this first episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, let's break down Pro 2 a little bit. This field, Brent, is unbelievable. Absolutely stacked. And we've been saying that for a couple of years now, but as it stands right now, there's eight different drivers in the field who have previously won a Champ Off-Road Pro 2 race. You've got Keegan Kincaid, Corey Winter, Mickey Thomas, Kyle Kleiman, Ryan Beat, Doug Metag, Ricky G, and Johnny Holcher. And now there's rumors swirling that Jarrett Brooks, after he had originally said he was going to step out, now he might return as well. He would be a ninth different driver in the field for this year with a winning Pro 2 resume. Is this like the best pro field you've ever seen?
Well, yeah, to say healthy would be an understatement because I'll tell you, you just read these names and if you don't get goosebumps halfway through it, you know these guys want to win. So like I said, if you don't feel any kind of excitement, you're not even human in the sport of off-road because Keegan Kincaid, Winter, Thomas, Kleiman, I mean, Kyle's had some bad luck and I think it's his time to turn it around. He's very confident. Seen him at the Bark River Off-Road Party, the thank you party. We talked a little bit, and he said, I'm ready for 2023. And that kid can drive anything, as well as Mickey Thomas. If his truck is on point and he's on point, it's hard to catch. At a big track, at a short track, they have great stuff. They have great drivers. I got to talk about my boy, Johnny Holcher. He stepped into Pro 2. First time ever in Pro 2 at Bark River. What a crazy weekend. You remember that, Shane? A little bit of rain, to say the least.
A little bit of rain, yeah. Hey, we were working indoors that weekend, and I remember being absolutely miserable. So, yeah, I remember it well.
Overcome that adversity. Bark River Lions Club and all the guys did a great job, got us out there racing. And Johnny, I remember talking to him before. He's like, I don't know, man. It's my first time out. I'm like, just do what you do. Just run away and hide if you can. And the track conditions were perfect. He got out front. Man, to win your first time in Pro 2, that's not easy when we look at all these guys in this field. So, I mean, Keegan Kincaid, not a great year last year, but just like that, anybody can win at any given time. And I can go on for days. I'm sorry, Shane. I keep on talking about all these guys, but that's what gets me coming back year after year is seeing this level of competition. There's nowhere in the United States, in the world, that you have these great drivers in one single place every weekend in Champ Off-Road to put on a show like they do. I just don't see it. You can make a new series. You can do whatever you want to do. I just think we have the best of the best right in front of us.
Yeah, no lies detected there. Pro 2, I think, is right now the flagship class of short course off-road racing. And I'm going to give you the understatement of the episode award. You said Keegan Kincaid had a bad year last year. I think that's really selling it short how much bad luck he actually had. Unbelievably, Keegan Kincaid, who, especially in the Midwest, I mean, these are, you could almost say this is all home field advantage, every track here in the Midwest for Keegan Kincaid, did not have a win last year. That is almost unthinkable. If you had told me before the season started that he wouldn't win a race, I would have laughed at you and told you to get lost. But here we are coming into the 2023 season, over a whole calendar year since he's won a race. You know, how motivated do you think Keegan is right now to get back on the track and get back to his winning ways?
Shane, he's very, very motivated, because you talk about the Kincaid name. It's just legacy in this sport. Jeff Kincaid. I mean, his old man is still out in that shop night and day, just working on these trucks. I mean, thinking outside the box. They built another brand new Pro 2. Do you don't think they want to win? They want the best of the best, and they are the best of the best. And they're going to bring what they need to do to the table. But at the end of the day, I believe King Kincaid will bounce back and really put on one hell of a show. But he knows as well as we know, Kyle Kleiman. I mean, if you're saying it right, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I love all these guys. They're all great race car drivers. But if you bring Brooks back in the field after making me bummed out after Crannon, I don't want to see any good driver leave this sport. Ryan Beat, can't say enough what he's doing for this whole sport and himself. He's going to be back in full swing. He put on one hell of a show at Fall Crandon. So, I don't know. Like Keegan, he'll do great. Corey Winter, he's fast. I mean, he got second in the points 2 years in a row. So you don't think he wants to win?
Yeah, these guys are all hungry. There's no doubt about that. Like we said, that's a stacked field. And we get to add, for sure, full-time this year, another really exciting driver, Dustin Grabowski, coming from the desert to race with us in Champ Off-Road.
Oh, nice, nice.
He is a former Class 5 Baja 500 winner. He's been racing the Spec Trophy trucks out in the desert. I'm told he is extremely fast, extremely fun to watch in the desert, and people are really confident that that's going to translate into some serious speed right here in the Midwest here in Champ Off-Road as well.
Welcome.
And then another guy who was going to make his debut later on this year and run part-time, Kyle Cooper. We talked about him being the champion of Superstock Truck last year. He bought a truck. He's going to sort of freshen up the chassis this year, get it ready, get it ready for him to jump into it, and then dive in headfirst next year and do a lot more work next off-season on the truck. But that's another exciting guy. And I talked to Kyle Cooper quite a bit, you know, basically throughout the year, where he's kind of my number one rumor mill source. Everything, half of these notes, the stuff comes from him about who's showing up and who's not showing up. And since he's gotten that Pro 2 into his shop, he's been excited, confident, calm, anxious, nervous, and ready, kind of all at the same time. It seems like he's running through the whole gamut of emotions, but like I said, we'll see him a little bit later on this year. And then I keep hearing rumors about some other guy showing up in Pro 2 maybe later this year, some Brent Smith guy. What's that about?
Well, dude, my brother and I have always dreamed to get into the sport, into the trucks, and last year was awesome to get to run Pro Light, but we've had a Pro 2 now for almost a year and bought it from Eric Ruppel. It's a former Patrick Clark truck. Key Stamper, I mean, if you know the sport, like, been around a long time, and it's like the funding, right? We talked about it earlier in the podcast. I'm not no millionaire. I'm not no guy that makes all this money, but I have a dream, right? So I'm looking for partners at the same time as not giving up. I'm got the motor package, working on a transmission package, going to go get the underdrive here in a couple days, and going to try to debut it at Bark River. That's my ultimate goal, and if I don't, I don't. Like, I have nothing to lose, but we only live once, and I'm just trying to make it happen. And I mean, it's not easy, but we have a great piece underneath us, a lot of great people helping us. And like I said, Pro Light was awesome. I don't want to be like, okay, I'm done with Pro Light, I'm going to Pro 2. No, just the opportunity was there. And I like to drive everything, run local dirt track at my hometown in Bark River in Escanaba, the UPIR track. I mean, now we call it Escanaba Speedway. they give me my chance to drive week in and week out. And then I get to come and broadcast my favorite sport with you, Shane. So, you know, I'm just thankful for what I've gotten to do up until this point. But my goal is Bark River, and we're going to keep trying. We have a never say die attitude, and we know a lot of people, and we just want to try to make it work. And when it happens, it happens. And you'll be the first one to know, Shane.
It's really fun for me to, you know, be your friend throughout this process too. And like I said, I talked to Kyle Cooper quite a bit too. Obviously, we're close with a lot of drivers, but to be close to the process, even though I'm not, you know, actively putting together a race car myself, it's really interesting. And also makes me, you know, the people that do this full time, that's a different kind of person that can, you know, especially talking about like sportsman drivers, people that don't know me that well and wonder why I'm so high on sportsman drivers. This is their life year round, is just scratching and clawing to put together a race program. That's why I love this stuff so much. But, you know, it's really cool to be able to be alongside you while you're going through this process. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, dude, it makes me feel great. You know, I go back, and you know us, we go back and watch the tapes, and sometimes we put ourselves on mute just to watch it to see what else we could think about. But I mean, I went and watched on Saturday when I got to run my first time in Pro Light, to get to talk to you at the mandatory competition caution. And I'm in my own head, I'm like, damn, man, don't interview me, Shane. I'm like a 19th, dude. Like, this is embarrassing. But at the same time, my emotions are like, hey, dude, you're in Pro Light, live TV. You know, this is sick. Like, just take it all in. But I still remember going 19th to 9th, and then you giving me credit. And because this is all we live for, dude. I remember being in Super Stock Truck, and you were our biggest fan, and we barely knew each other, but we were friends. And now the friendship we have, we get to bring the best sport to the world. So, like, what we got to do at Fall Crannon last year, like, I've told people, if I died tomorrow, can you say you died happy? Like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be in Pro Light. When I was at the cottage at 3.5 years old, my mom and dad, and we wanted to go to Crannon. And to say that I got to run a Pro Light, man, you could take anything away. There's no money that would match what I got to do on Fall Crannon.
So I think to sum up this first episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil, ahead of what's going to be a great season, Champ Off-Road is in a really good place. Our fields are stacked with some supreme talent in short course off-road racing, and this is a super fun job that we have, and we've got some really great friends. I think that sums it up well.
Absolutely, buddy, and we've become best friends over these years, and man, we got to keep it going, and what Carl and everyone's doing. So, I mean, I'll tell you, 2023 can't come fast enough, and it's a few short weeks away.
Like we said, we love our job. Hey, why don't we do this again soon? Let's talk some more racing on the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. How about sometime in the next week or so?
Absolutely, buddy. I can't wait, and I can't wait to get the season started. And man, don't look back now, buddy. It's going to happen.
Racing season starts now. That'll do it for this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. He's Brent Smith. I'm Shane Stetsny. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.